नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण राल वेलकम फॉर श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास एट श्री कृष्ण बलराम मंदिर इस्कॉन वृंदावन। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 8th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 3rd एंड वर्स 27th। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल गजेंद्रस प्रेयर ऑफ सरेंडर। Gajendra's prayers of surrender. So we know who is Gajendra. He was the king Indradyumna in South India. He left all his kingdom and opulence of the kingdom and just went in the forest for austerities. But somehow he knowingly or unknowingly offended saintly person. August Rishi came there. And when that Rishi came, he did not stand up to receive him. So Rishi said, "You are just like an elephant, too much proud, dull, headed. So become an elephant." So that king, because of the curse of a rishi, become an elephant. So two things we learn. One is that there is a reincarnation. That king become elephant. So from a human he came to the animal life. Because of the unknowingly or knowingly offending a saintly person. Second thing is that even after degrading to the lower species of life, bhakti was not destroyed. Whatever practice of spiritual discipline he was doing, that continued even in the life of a elephant. And third thing, when we will not complete our sadhana, and if somehow there is a break in that, so instead of getting liberation or love of God, we get more opulence in this world. So he become a Gajendra, become a king of the elephants, with a lot of facility for enjoyment. Now this Gajendra, but we are here reading is Gajendra, had a big family enjoying nicely in a narrow, is a beautiful pond, doing the water sporting with the female elephants and children and everything. Well, sometimes they say this place is near Madurai, the southern Madura, they call South Mathura. There's one mountain which is just looking like an elephant. This they call Elephant Mountain. And behind that Elephant Mountain, there is a Narsingha temple, and in front of the Narsingha temple, there is a pond. And they say this pastime took place there. Sometimes they say this is a place where this pastime took place. So then there was a crocodile in that lake, and the elephant's leg was caught by the crocodile. And in that condition, all those who wanted to help elephant, they failed. And they left, and he was alone now. Because elephant was the creature of the land, and crocodile is a creature of the water, so crocodile's power was increasing day by day, and the elephant's power was decreasing day by day. So elephant now thought there is no other way, only to pray to the Supreme Lord. So the principle is, when we are in a difficulty where we cannot solve problem ourselves, the best course is to surrender to the Lord and pray for help. Apati vipati. Apati and vipati, these are the troubles to the body and mind. And when there is no help, then just call upon Supreme Lord and surrender. Basically, we are starting this 27th verse, but I'm simply, well, in the end we may say this. So let us start this verse. Yogarandhita karmano hrdeyoga vibhavite yogino yama prapashyante yogeshatam natvasmyaham. So, yoga randhita karmanaha, one word. Persons whose reaction to fruitive activities have been burned up by bhakti yoga. The next word is hriday, within the core of the heart. Yoga vibhavite, completely purified and clean. Yoginaha, mystics who are competent. Yam, unto the personality of the Godhead, who prapashyanti, directly see. Yoga isham, unto the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the master of all yoga, or mystic yoga. Tam, unto him. Natasmi, offering obeisances. Aham, I. So Gajendra is saying, I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality, Supreme, the Super Soul, the master of the mystic yoga. So I offer my respectful obeisance to the Supreme. Who is the Supreme? Super Soul. And what is, and who is the Super Soul? Master of all mystic power. So his prayer is to the Lord who is within the heart. It's not somewhere else. He is Super Soul. And then he is yoga, he is a master of yoga, yogesha. This is the same way like Uttara is saying, यो योगी माम पाई माम योगी. सो कृष्ण यू आर ऑन द चैरियट बट यू आर ऑल्सो इन माई हार्ट. सो यू कैन डू एनीथिंग फ्रॉम एनी वेयर बिकॉज यू आर जस्ट नियर टू मी विद इन माई हार्ट. सो दीज आर दी थ्री विशेषण मीन्स थ्री स्पेशल characteristic of the Supreme Lord are spoken by you are supreme, you are super soul, you are master of yogic. And what about this supreme soul and master? Why is called master of yoga? Who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics. Pashyanti means see. The word is prapashyanti means completely. It's not seeing sometime, but prakrishena rupena means completely seeing something vividly, like Dhruva Maharaj was seeing within the heart the supreme person, the super soul, like seeing. But when they can see, they can only see when they are completely purified. Vibhavite, vishesha, especially, completely, bhati means clean. When they are completely clean, when they are completely purified and freed from the reaction of fruitive activities. And how can that be done? By practicing bhakti yoga. So, Srila Prabhupada is writing, the king of the elephant, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation, has supplied its ingredients. So, this purport is from the previous prayers of the Gajendra. Because these are the last two prayers now, and then the Lord will respond to the prayers of the Gajendra. So, what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say, that even a elephant, an animal, understand that there is a creator, and he has provided all the ingredient for creation. It's not coming from nowhere. And therefore, this should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. So animal can accept those, so even the greatest atheist, they must admit that. So what is atheist generally? What is the atheist? So if you want to qualify somebody atheist, you need God. Right? In a definition, the one who does not believe in God. So you need God to certify somebody as atheist. Without God, nobody can be called atheist, right? So even you need God to say somebody atheist. There was a lady praying in a temple. I am poor. Give me some food. And the atheist was watching. He said, how can God give food? So he sent the all food material to her house. And she got it. They said, you don't ask, who sent it? He said, I have faith. If God wants, even the greatest atheist can do the thing. I said, the atheist sent this food. So he said, well, you got it. It's not your God gave. Who gave? You asked this? He said, I have full faith. God can inspire some atheist to send me food. So what is the problem? Sometimes some people, well, they are covered atheists like that. They don't have a complete faith that, you know, God is providing to everybody. So this man said, well, I will only eat when God forces me to eat. Otherwise, I will not fast. I'll see how God is providing everybody. So he went and just was sitting on a big tree. Said, how God will find me and feed me? Let me see. So there were some pilgrimage, they were going and they have their food and they wanted to sit under their tree and open their tiffin to eat. They did not start yet eating, and by the time some dacoits came and the horse was, there was a sound of the horses coming and dacoits, so they ran away from there, leaving food there. Now dacoit came, they said, no, there's nobody, but there's a food. And we are hungry, we want to eat, but maybe somebody has put some poison in this, they want to kill us. So whose food is this? Let us see. They looked around and they found a person sitting on the tree. They said, get out, down. Came out. So you eat, he said, I'll not eat. There must be poison in this. So they said, oh, take his hand back, open his mouth, put food inside. So they are feeding him. So he said, oh God, he wants to feed, then he can feed somebody even by dacoit, forcefully. Yeah? So to believe in God, the elephant was believing that there is a creator. That's Prabhupada saying, it means the atheists are less and dull-headed than elephant. And what is the dull-headed elephant's disqualification in generally? He sees the image she elephant made of some grass. And there is a big ditch under that. And he's so attached to the she elephant, he just jumped on that. And there's no she elephant there, and he fell into the big ditch. And then the expert come with a small hook, and he trained them, and then the elephant is walking in the street, and everybody is singing some piano and getting 1 rupees. See, so powerful animal is now how he's controlled like that. That animal is controlled. So that is the elephant is less, so atheists are less than that. That's what it means. Why then do the non-devotees and atheists not admit this? Prabhupada saying non-devotees and atheists, why they don't accept this? Even elephant is accepting. He is offering prayer. The other principle is this. The devotion is so powerful that even animal can pray and get the favor of Lord. What to speak of human beings? Animal cannot do yajna. Animal cannot read shastra. He cannot be jnani. He cannot be yogi, but he can be devotee. So devotion is so powerful that even animals can become a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Gajendra is example here in Ramayana, the vulture, Jatayu is the example. And Krishna Leela, all the cows are the great devotees. All the deers are the even monkeys here. The monkeys are the great devotees of Lord Ramachandra. So devotion is so powerful that even animals can render service to the Supreme Lord and become a devotee, but non-devotees and atheists are less than animals, it means. They are in the form of the human being, but their propensities are less than animals. That's what it means. The reason is that they are polluted by reaction of their fruitive activities. Why there are non-devotees and atheists? The reason Srila Prabhupada is giving, because their consciousness and their heart is polluted by the reaction of fruitive activities. So, since how long these fruitive activities, they are implicated in that? Since time immemorial. We are in this world because of our reaction to the karma. So the word used here is randhit karmano. Karmano means activities. Randhit means completely clean, washed or destroyed. It means heart is pure, there is no impression of the impressions of the karma. So one must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another repeatedly. One must wash off this dirt by practicing bhakti yoga. योग रंधिता कर्माण. सो वाई पीपल आर नॉट रियलाइजिंग दैट देयर इज ए गॉड, ही इज ए क्रिएटर, ही इज प्रोवाइडिंग अस एवरीथिंग, वाई दे आर नॉट एबल टू एक्सेप्ट दिस. द रीजन इन दिस पर्पस श्रील प्रभुपाद इज गिविंग दैट बिकॉज देयर हार्ट इज डर्टी विद द इंप्रेशन ऑफ द रिपीटेड कर्म. इट्स ऑल्सो कॉल्ड कर्म आशा. देयर इज ए होप. आशा मीन्स होप. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam, Karma. As long as there are karma asya, there is no chance that one can approach the Supreme Lord. Because you think, I will do something by my own, some action, I will be successful. So this is the reason. How can we purify the heart? By bhakti yoga. So which ang of the bhakti, which ang means limb of the bhakti yoga is very powerful to clean the heart of all these dirty things? चेतो दर्पण मार्जनम परम विजयते श्री कृष्ण संकीर्तनम. वेल द चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नाम इज वेरी पावरफुल पर्टिकुलरली इन दिस एज बिकॉज इज ब्रॉट बाय चैतन्य महाप्रभु एंड इज डायरेक्ट फर्स्ट इंस्ट्रक्शन दैट विल क्लीन द हार्ट ऑफ ऑल डर्टी थिंग्स. चेतो मीन्स कॉन्शियसनेस. चेतो मीन्स हृदय. चेतना. चेतना मीन्स कॉन्शियसनेस. So polluted consciousness is completely cleaned by this process. Who will clean actually? There's the next question. What is the next most powerful item to clean the heart of all these dirty things in the heart? What is the next one? Just we recited the verse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sikshastram, Cheto Darpan Marjanam. What is the other, another most powerful? What? Mind? No. What is the item of the devotion that purifies the heart very quickly and powerfully? Hearing Bhagavatam. Hearing Bhagavatam. When we hear Bhagavatam, Krishna comes out of Bhagavat, enter through the ear, go into the heart and clean the heart of a devotee. Dinoti samalam Krishna. Krishna clean the heart. All the, so these are the most powerful items, chanting of the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But for these two, we need the third most important item. It's not possible to do these two things on one's own, by one's own effort. So what is the most third important thing which we need? To accomplish this, devotee association. So therefore all these temples are created big to give the devotee association. Having every day Bhagavatam class, having every day Harinam Sankirtan. And this process is more potent and more powerful on certain places. And what are those places where we will get the more quick result of all these processes? Holy Dham. Holy Dham. Doing this in Vrindavan is most powerful. And then which is the fifth now most important limb of the Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. We have counted four. Chanting holy name. Hearing Bhagavatam, having association of devotees, living in the dham, which is the first, fifth most important ang of the bhakti. Deity worship. What do you think? Right, where are we now and we have all these five facilities right now? How fortunate are we right now that we have all these five facilities? We are in Vrindavan Dham. We are in front of the deities. Aarti is going on. Bhagavatam we are hearing. And the association of devotees is there, and just we have finished the kirtan. So how powerful is this process given by Srila Prabhupada, really, to clean the heart. It's so powerful. We have all the facilities right here, right now. But what is most important now we need really that we should get a good result. Prabhupada writes, only sincerity. If we are sincere, then everything is here. It's only sincerity, then everything is right here. So this process is a very powerful process to clean the heart of all the impression of the many lifetimes. Karma vasana, or impression of the karma. Then Srila Prabhupada writes, as long as one is covered by material nature's mode of ignorance and passion. Now the question is, from where all these karma vasanas are coming, or the impression of the karma, from where they are coming? They are coming from the influence of the modes of material nature. And two lower modes are the main cause. The mode of, first Srila Prabhupada's mode of ignorance. Now for all the root cause of all sinful activities, problems, karma is ignorance. Ignorance is the root cause. So ignorance is due to mode of ignorance. That's called mode of ignorance, tamoguna. Tamo means dark. Dark means completely ignorant. And then because of ignorance, what the next mode will do? Passion will do? Greed. Passion means actually to expand. Needs more, 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 more. So these two modes mostly influence the person's nature. And it becomes his subhava, nature. So how somebody is implicated in all these karmas? Because of his nature. From where that nature comes? From the modes of material nature. Because of the association with the mode of material nature, since time immemorial, we have developed some nature. And that is forcing us. Even if we don't want, then it is forcing us. It is subhavastu pravartate. It is subhav, it is nature which is forcing somebody. You don't want to do it, but it is, that is what. We are here, we have all facilities, but it's still our conditioned nature. The subhav is not allowing us to be serious. So, Srila Prabhupada said, how that can be cured? There is no possibility of understanding Supreme Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse of the process of bhakti. Tada tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha jascaye. Where is this verse? First canto, second chapter, process of bhakti. And this process is started by shunvatam swakatha krishna punya sarvana kirtana. Then, nasht praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya. Then this is the verse. Then immediately, the influence of mode of passion and ignorance will be cleaned. Then the mode of goodness will be established. And then what will happen? Then we will see. Then the all granthis. All the, what is granthi means? Knots within the heart. What is the knot? Ignorance. Knot is ignorance. And which ignorance? False ego. Me and mine. I, me, mine. This is false ego, is a knot. And this is because of the ignorance. It will be completely smashed. Doubts are destroyed. And then, pashyanti, then cease. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, when one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lower qualities. What are the lower qualities? Kama, lobha. Kama means lust and lobha means greed. And all both these are influence of the mode of passion. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, nowadays, there are so many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desire and greed through the practice of yoga. So, what Srila Prabhupada is now really very critical, that people are practicing yoga, even there is a yoga day now. But what is the purpose of this modern day yoga? To increase the lusty desire and greed. Because the one who is teaching yoga is greedy, he needs money. You have to pay money to learn yoga, right? So he's greedy. And why those who practice yoga? Because they want to be powerful to enjoy more. So this is completely topsy-turvy of the yoga. Just upside down yoga. Yoga is to be connected with God, but here only the yoga is giving rise to greed and lust. Lusty desire and greed through the practice. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practices. They are not yoga practices. So actually, which yoga people are practicing nowadays? What that yoga is called generally? Ashtanga yoga. So Ashtanga yoga means eight limbs of the yoga. And what yoga people are practicing? Only two limbs. Which are the two limbs people are practicing? Asana and pranayama. And what is the foundation, the primary two limbs of, these are the three and four. What is one and two of the yoga? Yam and Nen. Yama means Yamaraj. If you do that, then you will be caught by Yamaraj. And Nem means if you follow that, then you will be freed from Yamaraj. So some do's and don'ts, and they don't do that. So there is no foundation. This modern yoga has no foundation of Yam and Nem. There are no rules and regulation. And then, why we should do asana? What is the purpose of doing asana?
Asana is meant to condition the body to sit 10,000 years.
Yeah, that is what Gopal is saying. Asana are at least more than 2.5 hours or 3 hours one can sit in one posture to meditate. So asana is to condition the body without disturbance for at least 3 hours at a stretch to sit in one asana. And then asana lasts for 1.5 minutes and 2 minutes, what they will do. They are pigeon asanas. They do the pigeon asana and monkey asana because they want the enjoyment, and pigeon and monkey are the best at enjoyment. So the modern day asana is pigeon monkey asana, right? And why we should do pranayama? They say to decrease the belly fat. Pranayama is to control mind. By breathing exercise, the mind is focused on breathing process. So it is, the asana is to control the body, and pranayama is to control the mind. Why? Then the fifth, what is the fifth limb? Pratyahara, which means give up useless things. All unnecessary things, give it up. And then dharana, then dhyana, then samadhi. They don't know these two beginning and practically speaking four inner, they don't know. They only know two. And they know two for a wrong purpose, not a right purpose. Not to control mind and body. To agitate mind more, and to make body more powerful to enjoy more. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. This is so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here as authoritatively acted in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse number 1. This is the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam.
थर्ड से ट्वेल्थ कैंटो थर्टीन चैप्टर इज द लास्ट चैप्टर एंड वर्स वन एंड व्हाट इज द वर्स ध्यान अवस्थे तद्गते न मनसा पश्यन्ति योगिनः. When the yogis sit in meditation, they see within their heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here the word is Pashyanti Yogino Yama. So Prabhupada is immediately quoting the another word to support this verse. That yogis see within the heart Supreme Lord. All the so-called yoga, they see the Supreme Lord within the heart? No. What they see after finishing yoga? What do you say? Fat removal. And their fat will be very bad. So, then Srila Prabhupada writes, a yogi is one who always meditates on the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Brahma Sanhita. Premanjanshurita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadeva hirdeshu vilokayanti yamashama sundramachinta gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Prabhupada has written full verse. I worship Govinda, the primal Lord who is Shyama Sundar, Krishna. You know, here the word is yogesh in the verse. Can you see the word yogesh? In Bhagavad Gita, what is the last verse? Yatra Yogeshwarha Krishnaha. So who is Yogesh? Krishna. It's not that Prabhupada is then screwing something out and bringing us to Shyam Sundar. No. This is the Yogesh means Krishna. Yatra Yogeshwarha Krishna, Yatra Partho, Dhanur Dhara. Yogesh means the master of yoga. So Krishna is Yogesha. He is Yogeshwar. This is the last verse of Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees are in their heart, see within their heart, with the eye of devotion tinged with the slave of the love. The bhakti yogi constantly sees Shyam Sundar, beautiful Lord Krishna, with blackish bodied hue. Because the king of the Hana is okay. So we are all devotees. Are we seeing Shyam Sundar? Yes, just look there. Turn to your left, you will see Shyam Sundar right there. Okay? Yeah. This is the difference between the neophyte devotee and Mahabhagavat. Mahabhagavat sees the deity as Supreme Lord. Neophyte sees the deities as the deity. This is the difference between the new devotee, neophyte devotee, and Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada said, oh, these deities are talking. If you can know their language, they are talking with you. And he said, when he established the mandir, he said, now Krishna Balaram are there. If you have any trouble, go to them. My dear Lord, this is a problem and they will solve. So Prabhupada said, there Krishna Balaram has appeared here. So for the Mahabhagavat, they are not deities. They are this Sakshat Sri Krishna. So, this worship of the deity is one of the most powerful ang of bhakti. Prabhupada used to say, dressing and decorating the deity is a samadhi with open eyes. Yogis have a samadhi with closed eyes, but it's a samadhi with open eyes. You decorate the toenail of the Supreme Lord, then you go to the ankle, put some ankle bell there. That means you meditate on each and every limb of the Lord. So this is a samadhi with open eye. And this samadhi Matajis can do very nicely. Matajis may not be able to do yoga, but the deity worship samadhi Matajis can do bestly. Because they can decorate the deities more meticulously. Because this is their hobby. All the time they want to decorate. So it's good for them, because this is a good talent they have somehow. Now Srila Prabhupada is coming back to Gajendra. Because the king of the elephant Gajendra thought himself an ordinary animal. He thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who are like animal in bodily concept of life and who have no purity of consciousness practice yoga? Now Prabhupada is saying, the elephant is thinking, I cannot practice yoga. So how the people who are less than elephant, because they are have animal propensity. As long as there is a bodily concept, there is no possibility of seeing Supreme Lord. That's what the idea is. In the present day, people who have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of the philosophy, and who do not follow the religious principle or rules and regulation, are nonetheless pretending to be yogis. So what are three things they don't know? If somebody is not knowing three things, then he cannot be yogi. Number one is if he is not able to control his senses. Number two is not understanding the philosophy of yoga. And number three, if he is not following the rules and regulation. So the number one is controlling senses. Even all the yoga club have nice coffee and tea stall inside. There's a coffee and tea stall. You finish yoga, then you are tired, now you take your coffee, cup of coffee. Huh? What do you think? Is this yoga practice? Are they controlling their senses? Now as soon as the yoga practice is finished, the girls and boys, they talk together, which asana you like the best. So is this sense control? Do they know the philosophy of the yoga, Patanjali Yoga Shastra? Is somebody teaching them Patanjali Yoga Shastra? Huh? They don't even know what is the instrument used for the yoga. Mind is the instrument for yoga. Manovritti Nirodha Yoga Uchyate. This is the first sutra of the Patanjali Yoga. Manovritti Nirodha Yoga Uchyate. One who controls the propensity of the mind and make the mind peaceful is called yogi. So they don't know really the first philosophy. And still they don't know the result of the yoga. Eight mystic power, they are so great, they don't know that. They don't know that yogis have a mystic power. They simply want to just be free from the disease and become more powerful to enjoy more. They don't know what they are doing. So they don't know philosophy. And third, they don't know rules and regulation. So how can they practice yoga? This is the greatest anomaly in the practice mystic yoga right now. So here ends the purport of this verse. The point I wanted to make, this we should not just look at a story of a crocodile and elephant. This is the state of affair of all the living beings on this planet. The crocodile in the form of time has caught the leg of every living entity. And this material world is also called ocean, right? Bhava Sagara. This is called ocean. This is material world is called ocean. This material world is called ocean. And who is the crocodile in the ocean? Time. Kala. And we are mad like an elephant trying to enjoy in this material world. And everybody is caught by the kala, by the time. Everybody of us sitting here, our foot is in the mouth of the time crocodile. Some is 20 years, some is 50 years, some is 70 years. But we should learn from Gajendra that we cannot get free from this kala, like crocodile. Only the hope is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. With a surrender, mood of surrender. Because everybody has the same problem as this Gajendra. So we all are caught by the crocodile of time, and only the way is that we should, as the more fast we surrender, the more easily we get freed from the influence of the crocodile and anxiety of our fear. And more sincerely and seriously we chant, the more easily and quickly we will be relieved from this anxiety. Hare Krishna. So, any question or comment? 1, 2, 3, 4. So, Gopalji. Microphone. Gopalji, Shudhi, Kar, Bhajan, and our this friend. What is your name? Braj Sundar Das. 4 questions, okay? Now, if there's a 1 minute more for your late in prasad, the 4 great saints are responsible. Yes, Prabhuji.
I asked a similar question earlier in this chapter. My question is that I just only cursed King Maharaj. In order for someone to have the power in which to curse, they must be very, 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 very powerful and strong. I don't know anybody that can curse such a thing onto another divinity. However, if a Vishnu has the ability to curse someone to become an elephant, a lower form of life, does he also have the ability to give them advancement and make them a higher form of life? So my question is that because he cursed and caused Gajendra into the Vishnu to suffer 1,000 years in the jaws of a crocodile, does he incur that karma for that cause of suffering? And if he would have, on the other hand, given the benediction to Indrajana Swami that you now will become a pure devotee and you won't make such a frivolous error again in your lifetime, which is best?
So this is a very good question. Say, August Rishi was powerful, therefore he cursed and made him the big devotee king animal. So is that August Rishi also implemented in some reaction of the karma? Usually it is said that a powerful saint who has a power to curse, if he curse somebody, then he lose some of his credit of the tapasya. But the saintly person like Narada, when they are cursing the two sons of the Kubera, then it says anugrahat. The word used is to be merciful on them, to purify them. He cursed them to become trees. So it says for anugraha. So sometimes these greatly people even curse to purify somebody's consciousness. So we don't know really that which saintly person's curse is a curse or is a blessing. Sometimes saints only curse to bless somebody. Durvasa curse the whom Durvasa curse which become a benediction. But it was word coming in my. In one sense, well, not that word is coming, but Durvasa cursed the Ambarish Rishi. What? Why? To show to the world that Ambarish is a great devotee, that even God is protecting him by his Sudarshan Chakra. So this curse was to glorify the Ambarish and the devotion. So sometime it appears they are cursing, but they are glorifying them. So in this case, curse is to show that the devotion is never lost. Even elephant can practice devotion. From there he can go directly to the back to guarded, back to home, back to guarded. But whether the August Rishi will be implicated in the karma of giving curse to somebody, definitely they lose some of their pious credits of their tapasya, provided they have cursed somebody out of enviousness or out of hatred, not out of sympathy. Because sometimes, if he is envious, then there is definitely his power of austerity will diminish, definitely. Huh? Sobari Muni was also? Sobari Muni was cursed by Garuda. Yeah, he cursed Garuda, therefore he suffered and came down into the... Yeah, there are some curses which definitely decrease their pious activity. Shuddhi, what was your question, Prabhu?
We're talking about surrendering and having Krishna relieve us from our contamination, untying the Hridaya Granthi. Is this make it more difficult for Krishna if we're more contaminated and the knot is bigger? Or if we surrender sincerely, it isn't a big deal for Krishna and he can do it just as quickly?
That is, the more bigger is a knot, the first candidate is he for operation. You know, that's good. Huh?
And also, first of all, remember, there's nothing difficult for Krishna.
Yeah, he can. Nothing difficult for
Krishna. Nothing difficult for Krishna.
That's what Krishna, that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said.
What's a big deal to us is not a big deal to Krishna. No.
Okay. Krishna said, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna can deliver the whole planet if devotee likes. What is difficult for Krishna? One mustard seed is lost. What is a problem for a grocer or even a lady in the kitchen? Nobody look for mustard seed. Yeah, so one planet is like a mustard seed for Krishna. They all can be delivered, no problem. Kar Bhajan, what is your question? Bigger the knot, easier is the process. Yeah, minute knot is very difficult to open. Bigger knot we can open, no problem. Yes, Kar Bhajan ji.
Prabhu, you were speaking about animal, elephant was animal, and how he could think that I can remember Krishna. So, according to my understanding, that Krishna is giving intelligence to everyone, to animals or to any human being also. So, similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling and so many animals, so how did they start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna?
This called, they were, that is the power of chanting. This is in Bhakti Rasamrita, in Sindhu says, Bhakti attracts everybody, even the animals. Bhakti attracts everybody. This is the second characteristic of Bhakti. First is Klesha Gani, that it destroys all the sin, and second is Shubhada. And in Shubhada, the first is looks everybody's welfare and everybody is attracted to Krishna. Everybody is attracted to devotee. And then example is given, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracting animals. So devotion is powerful. Because Gajendra is a devotion, so as an animal he was attracting Krishna. And after two verses, Lord Vishnu in the Vaikunth, he was hearing the prayer, he came onto the Garuda to rescue the Gajendra. So Krishna is in their heart as a Paramatma, definitely he gives them intelligence. Even in our Pad Yatra, 6 years back in Ulhasnagar, there was one dog, Prayagraj, there was one dog with the Pad Yatra. He was not eating on Ekadashi grain. Dog was not eating grain on Ekadashi. He was every day in front of the cart, but we never saw the dog, doing any dirty thing within the camp. He always go out and come and sit there. Every Mangal Arati he's up. The day cart left, he was howling. We have to put the dog in a car and we have dropped back where the Padyatra was. So even the dog can be attached to the deities and following Ekadashi, to what to speak of two legs dog there, why they are not doing this? Yeah, dog, this is, so Shivanand Sinha has a dog, any dog. Devotee, yeah, Mahaprabhu wanted this dog to chant Hare Krishna and he went go back to guard it. So devotees, there are many animals. What was your, Virjendra, your question and then end?
We had a cat.
Cat.
Yes, in Alachua. For many years, that cat was the first one in the morning to come from Mangalar. He wouldn't come into the temple. Sit outside and he would listen to Mangalarti, listen to Guru and Sundararti, and he was always there and he only ate Krishna.
So the cat can, because these are the some devotees, because of some mistake they are here. This tree is here every day attending all the aartis of Krishna Balaram. So how fortunate this tree. This tree is a great devotee than anybody of us. So this is some devotees somehow. Well, there was an original tree here, Tamal. Prabhupada used to sit under that. When they become dry, I think 20 years back, we were here, this new tree was planted. How many trees are there in the Vrindavan? This is planted right here. The devotee wanted to have a darshan of Krishna Balaram somehow. So he, because of some reason, he became tree, now he's doing that. So it's not an ordinary tree, it's just some devotee. What was your question to end everything? Devotion is more powerful than the curse. This is what it says. I mean, even offenses, they have stopped the process for some time, but it cannot completely destroy the devotion. Well, the one answer for your question is, one is a offense intentionally. If you do some offend somebody, criticize somebody intentionally with enviousness, then devotion definitely will suffer. But this Rishi was, I mean, this August Muni came and he did not notice it. So it was unintentional offense. So devotion was not endangered. Because he did not do offense knowingly or with intention.
Dvarsha Muni was another one who always had a quick temper. Dvarsha Muni, he always...
Dvarsha is very important, very special. Very special. He always give blessing in the disguise of curse. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Gaur Bhakta Granda ki jaya. Jai Gaur Premanande.